నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీతి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరక్షే నమః నమో బ్రహ్మణాయ పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తవతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశక్తికం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభాను సుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంచాకల్పతృభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే So I added a little extra prayer today. That's the prayer we recite while making offering. Namo Brahmanaya Devaya Go Brahmanaya Hitaya Cha. So we can recite that also in between actions. So. Anyway, so is it coming? So last time the topic we discussed, what was the title? So last time's theme was, does God really exist? So, and we discussed some various points on that, how to prove existence of God logically, scientifically. And then we discuss the definition of God. If we really want to define God, what will be definition of God? Anybody remember those characteristics?
Those who have those six opulences in fruitful.
So one was a shloka by Prashamuni, mm-hmm. right? Which defined the six opulences for one who is considered to be God. ఐశ్వర్యస్య సమగ్రస్య వీర్యస్య యశసః శ్రియ జ్ఞానం వైరాగ్యం శైవ షన్నం భాగం ఇతన్గిన సో హూ పొజెసెస్ ది సిక్స్ ఆపులెన్సెస్ ఇన్ ఫుల్ హీ ఈస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ గాడ్ అండ్ దెన్ గాడ్ జనరలీ వి డిఫైన్ హీ ఈస్ ద కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ కాజెస్ హీ దెర్ ఇస్ నో కాజ్ బిహైండ్ హిమ్ హీ ఈస్ ద సుప్రీం కంట్రోలర్ హీ ఈస్ ద సుప్రీం ప్రొప్రైటర్ అండ్ హీ ఈస్ ద సుప్రీం ఎంజాయర్ అండ్ హీ ఈస్ ఆల్ పర్వేసివ్ He is existing simultaneously everywhere. So that's where we stop, and then we'll continue next time. Who is God? So who is the one who fits into this criteria, all these criterias? And then is there one God or many God? As we say in Hinduism, generally it's claimed as Hinduism means polytheism. There are many gods. Everybody is God. Everybody is equal. So, is that a right claim or what is the right understanding? Now, just a disclaimer here. Now, everybody may have a different conception of God. Somebody may have a understanding of, maybe this particular Devata is the Supreme God. Or maybe this is the one who is Supreme God. Or everybody is God. I believe in this. You believe in that. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, everybody is the same Supreme God. So people may have different understanding. But here, what we are trying to discuss is the conclusion of the scriptures. We are going to present the proof or the claims as per the scriptures, given in the scriptures, not by just our own understanding, not based on our own liking, that oh, my inclination is toward this particular one, so I consider him God. So not like that, because we discussed this topic earlier, how to receive knowledge, right? Knowledge is not to be received just whimsically by some philosophical speculation or by some anuman praman. Knowledge is to be received through proper authority, right? By following a proper authority, and that authority is the scriptures, right? So coming from the parampara system, the knowledge coming through the scriptures, the shastra. So shastra praman. So here also we will discuss some points based on the scriptures . So we'll continue with who is God, how we now conclude based on the scriptures, who is God. So as I said, when we talk about God or when we say this word God, maybe everybody's mind there is a picture appears. So there's a picture maybe appear in everybody's mind, okay, thinking about, okay, he is God or she is God or that person is God or this Baba is God, like that. So just like there were two persons sitting in a yoga posture or meditating. And both person are say maybe, hey ma, right? You use the word hey ma. And somebody's mind, maybe the picture appears. So two people sitting, one person's mind, maybe the picture appears Durga Devi or Parvati Devi. Right, somebody is thinking, okay, ma, and you say, hey ma, somebody's mind might be thinking about Hema Malini, right, hey ma. So just where our inclination is, where somebody's mind setup is, he might be just thinking about that particular picture. Now when we say God, who is God, who is the Supreme Lord? Now first I will tell the conclusion, and then we'll go step by step as a understanding based on the scriptures. If that personality fit all those characteristics, meet all those criteria or not. So the scriptures define the Supreme Lord. Who is the Supreme Lord? Brahmaji, he has composed a set of prayers which is known as Brahma Samhita. And the Brahma Samhita starts by saying, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindam Sarva Karana Karanam. So Ishvara Parama Krishna. So Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the cause of all causes. So that is the conclusion of the scriptures. Not just Brahmaji's prayer from Brahma Samhita, lot of other scriptures, lot of from other various sources. That is the same conclusion. But we will go step by step. What are the other all the sources? So as we go with the definition or the characteristics, right? So we said he is the cause of all causes and there is no cause behind this. So that is Brahmaji's first statement here. Who is the cause of all causes? So here Brahmaji himself, so basically if we want to understand something, we listen to authority or you listen to your elders who can give you the knowledge, right? And who can be the most elder than Brahmaji in this whole creation? Brahmaji is the first created being within this universe. So Brahmaji is concluding, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda. He is the source of everything. Anadir Adir. He doesn't have any beginning. He doesn't have any end. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the source of everything. He is the cause of all causes. So that was the first characteristic. He is the cause of all causes. And then not just Brahmaji, Krishna himself declares in Bhagavad Gita. So what does Krishna says? Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitah. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, I am the source of everything. Mattah sarvam pravartate, from me everything comes out. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitah. Who knows this? He worships me. So Krishna himself is declaring this in Bhagavad Gita, that I am the cause of everything, I am the source of everything. And then another point, another place in Bhagavad Gita, 15.7, Krishna says, Mame vansho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. All these living entities are my ansha, mamev ansha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. This living entity in its nature is eternal, right? As a spirit soul, living entity is eternal, and that eternal living entity is my ansha. That's what Krishna is declaring in Bhagavad Gita. So the first point was cause of all causes. Brahmajay is accepting that. Krishna himself is declaring that, and many other places. I'm just quoting few examples here. Then the second point we discussed was, he is the supreme controller. And if somebody is the supreme controller, he is the supreme maintainer, right? In general, nobody can claim that, oh, I am the controller of everything. Even the president of this country cannot claim that I am the full controller of this whole country. But for the whole universe, if somebody can claim that, oh, I am the supreme controller and maintainer of that, that's Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita again, Matta paratram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam protam sutre mani ganayeva. So as you wear a necklace, in a necklace you may not see the thread, but all the pearls are strung on that necklace, on that thread of the necklace. So same way Krishna is saying, as the pearls are strung on a thread, all these planets are resting upon me. Mai sarvam idam protam, everything is resting upon me as sutre manigana eva. As on a thread, then the money, the pearls are resting. So everything is resting upon me. I am the controller of everything. I am the source of everything, and I am the controller of everything. And in another place in 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Dharyam aham ojasa. How all these planets are resting. We discuss this example. Science will claim, oh, everything is resting based on, everything is in their planetary system based on the law of gravity, right? Gravitational force. But here what Krishna is saying, who is the source of that gravity, that force of gravity? From where this force is coming? So Krishna says, that's Ojas Shakti, that's my power, my strength. Dharyam aham ojasa. It's resting on my strength. All these planets, all these universes is resting upon me. So that's a supreme controller and the supreme maintainer. And then the next example comes, supreme proprietor and enjoyer. So Krishna says, chapter 5, text 29, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrida sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. So Krishna says, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. So sarvaloka maheshwaram, it signifies, I am the controller and maintainer of everything. Sarva loka maheshwara. And then bhoktaram yagya tapasam, I am the enjoyer of everything. So we discussed the example last time. If somebody owns a big hotel, right? A person working on the front desk, he may be collecting all the money throughout the day. But at the end, the owner of the company comes, he claims all that money, fills up everything in a bag and takes it. So who is the enjoyer? The person who owns that, who owns everything. So Krishna says, everything comes from me, so I am the enjoyer of everything. Bhoktaram Yagya Tapsam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. And then who is the omnipresent? So next characteristics was the omnipresent. The Supreme Lord has to be omnipresent. So what is the proof? So when Arjuna asked Krishna to show his universal form, this is chapter 11, the universal form, where Krishna reveals his universal form. So Arjuna says, I accept you as the Supreme Lord, that you are all pervasive. And what does the word he use? Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavana Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Demavam Vibhu. So he says, Param Brahma Param Dhamma. You are the Param Brahma. You are existing everywhere. Param Dhamma. You are the supreme shelter of everything. And now, it's not that Krishna is just trying to praise. Arjuna is not just trying to praise Krishna out of as a friendly relationship. Right? Sometimes it happens to close friends, to very intimate friends. And one may be trying to praise others. Oh, you are such a great person. Or let's say, to cricketer, good friends. One may be telling the other one, oh, you are such a nice batsman. There is nobody like you. But now, he might be just telling from his side as a glorifying because of as a friendly relationship. But then if that person, that friend says, oh, not just me, all the cricketers of this world, all the empires, great empires of this world, claim that you are the best cricketer, best batsman. Now, that will be not just his own glorification, right? If somebody is giving a reference to all other person who is glorifying. So, same way here, Arjuna is not just trying to glorify Krishna as a friendly relationship. He is, now next shloka, he adds, it's not that just I am saying that. I have heard it from all other great sources. And what are those sources? Devarishi Naradas Tatha Asito Devalo Vyasam Swayam Cheva Bhivishime. So I have heard this from these great, great personalities. Who are those? Devarishi Narada, Asito, Devalo, Vyasa. And now you yourself has revealed that truth to me. So Arjuna is accepting whatever all the great personalities have told. And he is saying, he is concluding that you are the Param Brahma, you are the Supreme Lord, you are the Supreme Person. So we, those are the basic characteristics. And now going with the definition, all the six opulences. So he said, Ashwarasya Samagrasya, Viryasya Yashasah Shriya, Jnanam Vairagyam Sheva. Bottom one is chapter 11, text 12 and 13. Chapter 11. Yeah. So Ashwarasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasah Shriya Jnanam Vairagyam Sheva Shannam Bhagam Itangina. So Prashamuni said, who possesses these six opulences in full, he is the Supreme Lord. Now first characteristic, Ashwarya. Ashwarya is wealth, riches. So who can possess more wealth than the creator or the controller of the whole creation? Right? If somebody owns the whole creation, somebody owns the, his, somebody is maintaining the whole creation, it means he is the supreme, most richest person. Right? Now, apart from that, just looking at the example of Krishna, when Krishna was present on this earth, he had 16,108 wives. It's not that all these 16,108 wives were packed in some corner of a house. All those wives, he were given individual palaces. So each wife had their own individual palace or individual house. And Krishna was simultaneously living with all of them in all those houses. Okay, one day Narad Muni came to visit Krishna. So he went to the first house. And in that house, Krishna was doing a particular activity. Early morning, he was doing his, as he was setting the example for all the people. So he was showing by his own example how to lead a meaningful life. So in the early morning, he was doing the morning rituals, like doing some tapasya or some meditation or some homa. And then he visited the second house. So Krishna was there also. He was doing some other activities, maybe taking care of the family, taking care of the wife, or taking care of the kids, or educating the kids. So like that, Narada visited all these different places and palaces, and Krishna was present everywhere. So all those wives, 16,108, everyone has their own palace. So here, in this world, you can imagine, maintaining one is a big problem. If somebody has two wives, some like Muslim people, right? Some sheikh, they have 2, 3, 4. It's very challenging. The Krishna, 16,108, and he has no problem. So in terms of riches, there is no comparison. So riches, first one is Aishwarya. Second one, Virya, strength. Is there any comparison to the strength of Krishna? Now if somebody, our kids, when they are growing up, parents are generally worried. Oh, I need to feed them nicely, some nice butter, ghee, milk, so that they can grow strong, or nice growth, physical growth is there. Now Krishna, at the tender age of 6 days, was his first encounter with the first demon sent by Kamsa. Who was that? Putana. So Krishna was merely 6 days old. Now just imagine, most of you have seen a 6 day old baby. How soft and tender the hands of the babies are, if you have touched those. Now Krishna, 6 day old, when Putana came to kill Krishna by feeding the poisonous milk, Krishna sucked out all the life air from Putana. And Putana was shouting, please leave me, leave me, leave me. At the age of 3 months, second encounter, Tarnavrata, the whirlwind demon, right, who took Krishna in the sky as a whirlwind. And Krishna, just imagine, 2 or 3 month old baby still. So he hold on to Tarnavrata's throat like this, and Tarnavrata choked. Krishna started making himself heavy and heavy and heavy, and he could not hold Krishna anymore. So Krishna's weight became bigger than a mountain. So that is Krishna's strength. He does not have to do some weightlifting, bodybuilding to gain that strength. Even though he does all this pastime of stealing the milk and butter and yogurt, it's not that he gained the strength by eating all those nice foodstuff. He is the most strong by default. Either he is a 3 month old baby, or he comes as a Lord Hiranyakasipu. It's the same strength. He manifests same strength. And then when Krishna killed Kamsa, after that Jarasandh attacked on Mathura with 23 Akshuni Sena. 23 Akshuni Sena. It was bigger than the army of Kauravas when Kaurava and Pandava put together at the Kurukshetra war. That was the army of Jarasandha. And Krishna and Balram alone defeated the whole army 17 times. So there is no comparison to strength of Krishna. The next one is Yashasaha, fame. Now everybody knows about fame of Krishna, right? There is no point in saying Krishna did all these nice pastimes, wonderful leela, and we still sing those pastimes, discuss those pastimes, narrate all those pastimes. Krishna left the place of warfield, 18th time when Jarasandha attacked. He left the war, and he was called as Ranachor, and still he was glorified. He is worshipped as Ranachor Rai. He was stealing the butter, and he is worshipped as Makhanchor. So he does all these pastimes, and people worship him till today. So there is no comparison to Krishna's fame. And then beauty. Now people say, okay, Krishna is black. How can black be beautiful? So it's not the black like the black we know. It's like the... it's a bluish, blackish complexion, like the rain cloud. That is the complexion of Krishna, like a fresh rain cloud. And his beauty, nobody can surpass his beauty. Even when he was present at the Kurukshetra war, he was almost like 100 years old that time. But he still looks like 16-year-old youth. That's why in Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says, Nav Yovanam Cha. So he's always youthful, ever fresh. And his another name is Madan Mohan. Who is Mohan? Madan. Madan is Kamadev. Madan is the name for Kamadev. And Krishna is called Madan Mohan. So once Kamadev came to shoot his arrows on Krishna, okay? And just looking at Krishna, he himself got bewildered. So that's why Krishna got the name Madan Mohan, who attract even Kamadev. Even Lakshmi Devi come to participate in the rasa dance with Krishna. When Krishna is doing this rasa dance with the gopis, Lakshmi Devi come to participate in that rasa dance with Krishna. Just attracted with the beauty of Krishna. So like that, there are so many instances in Braj. Lord Shiva also comes.
Not even just the goddess Lakshmi, but Lord Shiva.
So a lot of personalities like this. So in Braj, the cowherd boys have a very intimate relationship with Krishna. And they sometimes will tease Krishna or taunt on Krishna in the Braj Bhasha. If I say that in Braj Bhasha, it says, O Sare, tu ladka hai to itni dikkat hai, itni mushkil hai. Agar tu ladki bana hota, to hazaro log gala kaat ke mar gaye hote. Tumhe prapt karne ke liye. So you are a boy, still you are causing so much trouble. If you are a girl, thousands and thousands of people have killed each other just to attain you. And in another pastime in Vrindavan is just looking at Krishna, when Krishna will come out of his house, everybody will become just like a picture. Everybody will become so still, like a chitravat. This is Chitravat. Everybody will become just like a painting. So still, just looking at Krishna, they get so absorbed, so attracted to Krishna. And Krishna's name itself, the meaning of Krishna, Akarshati Iti Krishna, who attracts everybody. That is Krishna. So, nobody can surpass Krishna's beauty. Now, knowledge. Just one example of Krishna's knowledge. Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita just before the war was going to start at Kurukshetra. 40 to 45 minutes he spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita as a nice song. He sang this nice song. And people are still spending the whole lifetime to understand Bhagavad Gita. In one lifetime, it will be hard to, if somebody can understand the Bhagavad Gita, even the deepest meaning of one full shloka. Any person can do one full PhD on every shloka of Bhagavad Gita. There are actually many PhDs done on individual shlokas of Bhagavad Gita.
Then how come Arjuna understand that in only 45 minutes?
Because it's Krishna's mercy. Nobody can understand unless there is mercy of Krishna. People can read open Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is openly available to everybody, right? People can buy the book and read. But unless somebody has the mercy, one cannot understand. Every time you read, you will get a new meaning out of it. You read one shloka 10 times, every time your understanding will mature. right? We have a practical experience, practical realization of that. People may read Bhagavad Gita 10 times, they still cannot understand anything. There are those examples also. So the next one, renunciation. Now if somebody has all these opulences, is it possible to be renounced? Just imagine your situation. If you have lot of money, nice, lot of fame, you become very famous person, very attractive, everybody is so attracted to you, and you have lot of knowledge, and then try to be renounced. Is it possible? Because generally, if people get some opulence, what happens?
They become proud.
Become proud. Right? Become proud, arrogant. No, nobody is like me. Nobody is compared to me. So here, many examples how Krishna exhibited renunciation even though having all these opulences. One example, first example, when Krishna was living in Vrindavan, all the Brajavasis will love Krishna so much, all the gopis, all the Brajavasis, all the cowherd boys, they cannot live without Krishna. And when Akrura came to take Krishna, no, we need to go to Mathura. Now is the another chapter of Leela starts, so we need to go. Krishna immediately left everybody. No attachment. Duty calls, I have to go. Another example. Lord Ram. When Lord Ram was in Ayodhya, he was to be crowned the king. Just in the midnight, Kekai says, I want Ram to go to forest for 14 years. And why I want Bharat to become the king. And when this news came to Lord Ram, when Lord Ram heard this news, he did not retaliate. Oh, I'm going to be the king. How dare you give this kingdom to somebody else? Right? He did not retaliate. He said, okay, I will go to forest. So, renunciation. Another example. At the war of Kurukshetra, what was Krishna's job? What did Krishna do? He did not fight in the war. What did Krishna do? He was a chariot driver. Chauffeur. Right? So, just ask a millionaire person or go to Melbara, tell her, will you become the chauffeur of my Cadillac for one day? Huh? So for that's again for getting popularity, right? Fame. Otherwise nobody will do. So Krishna accepted to become chariot driver for Arjuna. When Arjuna asked, okay, you just become my chariot driver. I don't want your army. You can give it to Duryodhan, no problem. I just want you be my guide. Just be my chariot driver. And Krishna accepted that proposal. So that is renunciation. So with all these references, all those sources, scripture clearly defined Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the cause of all causes. Now, somebody may say, okay, Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes, but what about Lord Vishnu or Lord Ram or Narsingdev or Varadev and all that? Who are these? So when we say Krishna, all the different incarnations of Krishna or of Lord Vishnu, they're all considered. That's why I quoted the example of Lord Ram also, right? Otherwise, how does it match? So, there's no difference in terms of tattva, there is no difference in Krishna or Vishnu or Lord Ram. But now generally people have this conception, Krishna is incarnation of Vishnu. So Vishnu is supreme. And Krishna, Lord Ram, these are incarnation of Vishnu. But the actual understanding is Krishna is the original avatari. And even Vishnu is avatar of Krishna. So in the spiritual world, it starts from Krishna. In Gloka Vrindavan, Krishna is present in his eternal form. And from Krishna, for the purpose of whole creation, Krishna first expands as Shankarshan. And then from Shankarshan, three Vishnu forms come. First Vishnu form is Mahavishnu. Okay, we have heard the name Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu is the one who lies down in the causal ocean, and from whose body, from the pores of whose body, can you see this? Okay. So, from Shankarshan, first incarnation comes as Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu lies down in the causal ocean, and from the breathing of Mahavishnu, from the pores of Mahavishnu, all these bubbles come out. And each bubble is like one universe. And then Mahavishnu expands further as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and enters into each of these universes. So, our universe, we say, okay, universe, it's not just one universe. There are innumerable universes. And in each universe, there are innumerable planets. So, our universe is one of the universe. So, Mahavishnu, from Mahavishnu's body, all these bubbles come out, which is like each universe. And then Mahavishnu expands further as a second expansion of Vishnu, as a Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, which enters into each universe, lying down on the Garbhodak Sagar. And then from that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's navel, a lotus sprout. And on that lotus, Brahma is born. Right? That is the first living entity within each universe. So each universe, Brahma is only not one. Each universe has their own Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Each universe has a Brahma in that. And each universe has a Shiva also. So each universe has a Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva. And but all these come from Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu come from Sankarshan. And Sankarshan come from Krishna. And then Krishna, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, further third expansion is called as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, which is the Paramatma aspect, who expands and lives into the heart of every living entity. So that is Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So Karnodakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu is also called Karnodakshaya Vishnu, who is lying on the Karan Sagar. So Karnodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So these are the three Vishnu expansions. So that is the relationship of Vishnu and Krishna. So Krishna is the original avatari, and from him everything starts. And when Lord appears within this universe, he takes his incarnation. He comes through Lord Vishnu. He comes through Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. That's why sometimes people most in journal refers to as expansions or the incarnations of Vishnu. But actually it's Krishna who descends at time after time, at various time in different expansions, in different incarnations.
How Shiva comes? Lord Shiva.
Coming. Oh. So, Lord Shiva within this universe come from the eyebrows of Brahmaji within this universe. So there is a pastime when Brahma first created the four Kumaras, right? Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan, those four Kumaras. And Brahma wanted them to now expand the creation or expand the living entities within this universe. And those four Kumaras said, we don't want to get into this business. We will just stay as a Nashtik Brahmachari. We just want to get into the self-realization process. We don't want to get into this creation. And Brahma got very angry. And then from Brahma's anger, from his eyes, came a living entity, came another person, which is Rudra, Shambhu, Shiva. That is how Shiva appeared within this universe. But I will discuss more. What is the relation of Shiva and Vishnu also?
So now, if you see that Brahmajati, just above them, there is a Kailash and
right.
Shiva
is... So, this is the superior, if you look into this picture, this is whole spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, the topmost planet or the topmost place is called Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka. Go means cow. Loka means planet. So it's the planet of cows. Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna lives eternally in his supreme form. And from there, the Sankarshan and all the Vishnu expansions come. And in the spiritual world, there are many Vaikuntha planets. right? We call spiritual world means Vaikuntha planet. Vaikuntha. Kuntha means anxiety. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. So the place where there is no anxiety, this material world is known as Kuntha Jagat, where there is always anxiety, always problems. But the spiritual world is called Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety, no problems. So there are many Vaikuntha planets where Lord Vishnu in different forms reside there. And in the...
Just above the Brahmajati, there is another area called Kailas. So there Lord Shiva is there, that is the eternal form.
Right, that's the eternal form of Lord Shiva.
Spiritual world.
Right.
So what is the relationship between that and the spiritual?
So I will come down. So from that, now this Brahmajyoti is just the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. We discussed that. And then Mahavishnu lies down on the causal ocean, which is a borderline between the spiritual world and the material world. Right? So in that causal ocean, from Mahavishnu's breathing, all these bubbles come out.
So that is called Braja River, right?
Braja River, yes. So causal ocean is also known as Braja River, which is the kind of a marginal position between the spiritual world and the material world. Now from that, each bubble is like one universe, and within each bubble, you see there is, from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's navel, this lotus sprout, and that is the topmost part, that lotus, within this universe. So each universe has 14 divisions of the planetary system. And the Earth is in the middle. Earth is in the middle planetary system. So there are 7 above and 6 below. So that is the creation, or that is the structure of each universe. And that is the... Now, how we understand the relation of Krishna and Vishnu in one sense? So like a police officer, just understand with this analogy, a police officer, when he comes down to his office, he may be dressed up nice in a police uniform, he has a gun hanging or a stick there, right? All those paraphernalia is there. So he is in an official dress, in an office form. And the same officer, when he goes to his home, he may have a casual dress, and all the people outside in his office may know him in a different name or as a different position. But when he goes, the same officer goes into his house, his dress may be different, and the relation of his family members with him will be in a different way, right? His kids, his family, his father, mother or wife may address him in a different way. So same way Krishna, when he is eternally situated in his spiritual world, it's like his position in the home, where he has a relation with all the devotees who are eternally living within the spiritual world. And when he comes into this material world for the purpose of the creation and maintenance of this world, he is known as Lord Vishnu, right? He is assuming, he is accepting that form, that particular uniform. So that is the relationship. On duty. So he is Shankh Gada Chakra Padamdhar, right? In that way. So 4 different objects in 4 different hands. And based on the position of these 4 objects in 4 different hands, he has different Vishnu positions. I will not go into all those technicality. Let's keep it to little basic so that you don't get confused. So just understand Krishna in the spiritual world, from whom everything expands. 3 Vishnu expansions: Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And within each universe, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is there. Brahma comes out from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and we will discuss all other personalities also.
Why he created all these things?
We will go to that point also. That will come when we understand who am I. When we discuss that point, I will cover this in that particular point. Okay? So, nice question. Why the need of all this creation? Right? So we'll handle that question. So just to because of our own desire, eternally everybody is in the spiritual world living with Krishna. but because of our own desire to enjoy separately, we are sent into this place. Because if you want to enjoy separately, Krishna says, okay, I have a special place for you. You can go and try to be the enjoyer by yourself there. And when we get frustrated here, in our endeavor to enjoy separately, then we start looking into self-realization, adhyatmic life. Right?
It looks like this. Suppose, for example, your son grew up, started working and adding money. Then you say, Papa, I don't like you anymore. I will enjoy myself. Then you say, it is my house. You get out, go to my house. You stay there. And after some time, you realize that without Papa, I cannot do it. Then again, you
come. So, now, after saying all that, somebody may still say that, okay, you said Krishna is supreme, Vishnu is supreme, but how about Brahma, Ganeshji, Shiva, Durga, what about all those personalities? Who are those? Are they also not God? What is their position? So, we'll go into that discussion, how to understand all these different personalities or what are their positions. And to understand that again, we have to look into the scriptures, right? What scriptures say, or what are the greatest personalities themselves say, what Lord Shiva himself say about this, what Brahmaji say himself about all these different personalities. So we'll look into that. So the first reference from Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami recites, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta Stuvanti Divye Stve Vede Sangpad Angpad Kramopanishadir Gayanti Yam Samaga Dhyanavasthito Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Navidhu Surasurgana Devaya Tasme Namaha. So he is mentioning all these different personalities. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta. So who are all these personalities? Brahma, Varun. Varun is god of water, right? Varun, Indra, Rudra. Rudra is Lord Shiva.
Varun is Vayudev.
Maruta is Vayudev.
Varun is
water. Maruta is water.
Then
Indra is rain.
Oh, there's a difference between water and rain.
Yes. So all these different personalities, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta, what are they doing? Stuvanti Divyestve. They are glorifying with transcendental hymns. Vede Sangha Sang Padakrama Upanishadir. All the hymns found in the Vedas, Upanishads and all their corollaries. Gayantiyam Samaga. And all the hymns found in the Samaveda, they are all glorifying the Supreme Lord. And this Supreme Lord, the great sages who are trying to meditate on Him, Dhyanavasthito Tavgatena Manasah Pashyantiyam Yogino, the great yogis who try to capture that Supreme Lord in their great meditation. Yasyantam na vidhu, whose beginning and end cannot be known by the suras or asuras. Yasyantam na vidhu sura asura gana. Devaya tasme namaha. I pay my obeisances to that personality, that Supreme Lord. So Shukdev Goswami is reciting this in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is known as the topmost Purana. There are 18 Puranas, and the topmost Purana is known as Srimad Bhagavat Purana. And then in same Srimad Bhagavat, Shukdev Goswami, he lists down all the various incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord appears in various incarnations. So he lists down all those incarnations, and then at the end, he says, Ite chancha kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagwan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Ridyanti Yuge Yuge. He appears yuga after yuga to destroy the demonic forces. Itecha Ancha Kala Pumsa. All these incarnations are either the expansions or the expansion of expansion. But Krishnastu Bhagwan Swayam. But Krishna is the original Supreme Lord. Now, what is the position of Brahmaji? We say generally the understanding, or to say misunderstanding, is there is a Trimurti. Trinity is there. Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. And generally people think, oh, they three are the same, equal. They are all equal. Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, they are all equal. They are all, all three are the Supreme God. Now, Brahma is known as creator. Vishnu is known as maintainer. And Shiva is known as
destroyer.
Right? For this universe. Now, Brahma is known as the creator. But it's like Brahma is given the position of creation by the Supreme Lord. And Brahma is not the original primary creator. He is a secondary creator. So there is a Sarga and Visarga. Sarga means the primary creation and Visarga means secondary creation. So we discussed Mahavishnu lying down in the causal ocean. From his breathing, all the bubbles come out. That is the primary creation. All the universe is created. All the raw material is created. And then within each universe, Brahma comes out. And Brahma is given the job that, okay, here is all the raw material. Now you create different species. Like a owner of the company, he may provide all the raw material. Right? And then the engineers are hired. They can design, create a particular product out of that raw material. So, that is the job of Brahmaji. Brahmaji is the secondary creator. He is given with all the raw material and he is given the job of engineer this universe. You create different species, fill out the colors. Butterfly, this color, this person, this color, this species, this like this, this shape. So, that is the job of Brahmaji. So, Brahmaji is the secondary creator. Not the original as a primary creator. And he has been given this job. Now, Lord Shiva is a very special personality. To understand Lord Shiva or Shiva Tattva, it's generally very difficult to understand Shiva Tattva. Now, how we understand the position of Lord Shiva, is Shiva also equal or Shiva is the supreme, or what is the relation of Shiva and Vishnu or Shiva and Krishna? We have to look at various aspects here. First of all, when you look at any picture of Shiva or any particular pastime of Shiva, what is Lord Shiva doing? Lord Shiva is generally seen meditating, right? Or chanting the holy name. So once Devi Parvati asked Lord Shiva that, on whom are you always meditating? Whose name are you always chanting? And Lord Shiva said, it is my eternal Supreme Lord on whom I am meditating, whose name I am chanting. It's Lord Ram. Or Lord Vishnu, whose name I am chanting. And again, another instance, Parvati ji asked this question, who is the most worshipable personality, worshipable deity? And Lord Shiva said, Aradhana nam sarvesham Vishnur aradhana param tasmat paratram devi tadya nam samacharam samarchanam. So, Aradhana nam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. So among all the worship of Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the supreme. And there is another instance, I just narrated this instance a couple of days back in our we do Damodar Arati every evening. So I was just narrating this particular pastime. So when Krishna personally appeared 5000 years back, Lord Shiva, he wanted to see the baby form of his worshipable Lord. So he came to Vrindavan to see baby Krishna. Now Lord Shiva, even though he can disguise himself, but his original Savarupa cannot be hidden, right? Having a snake in the neck, all the scorpions hanging from his ears, the ashes on the body. So when he came in front of Nand Baba's house, Mother Yashoda opened the house. She thought, oh, some Sadhu Baba has come asking for some alms, bhiksha. I can give him whatever he wants. She says, what do you want? I can give you anything. He said, no, I don't want anything. I just came to see your little Krishna. I came to see your Lalla. I just want the darshan. Please bring your little baby out so that I can see him. I can take darshan. And Mother Yashoda said, no, I cannot bring him out. He will be scared looking at your this form. Having a snake in the neck and the scorpions hanging from your earrings and all that. And the body covered with the ashes. I don't want to bring him out. And so he said, I can give you whatever else you want. I can bring diamonds, pearls, grains, whatever you want, I can give you that. But please forgive me, I cannot bring Krishna. So Lord Shiva kept pleading with Mother Yashoda. No, please bring your Lala out. I want to see him. And Mother Yashoda kept refusing. And finally Lord Shiva got little disappointed and he left the place. And here Krishna's position is, he is always eager to see his devotees. Krishna is always eager to see his devotees. So Krishna started crying. As a baby, he started this pastime, he started crying. And he told, I want to see the moon. It's daytime now, how to show the moon? Krishna said, I want to see the moon. So some other gopis, they say, oh, we saw this Sadhu Baba here. On his hair, we saw a moon. Why don't you call that Sadhu Baba and show him the moon? So then gopis went, they brought Lord Shiva back as a sadhu, who was as a sadhu. And then Mother Yashoda finally brought Krishna. Krishna saw Lord Shiva and he became quiet. And Lord Shiva, after seeing Krishna, baby Krishna, he also became very happy. And he started dancing. And then to take further advantage, Lord Shiva told Mother Yashoda, see, your baby is so happy now. Do you want him to be happy forever? Now generally mothers, they are eager to see their babies happy always, right? Which mother will say, no, I don't want to see my baby happy. So he said, of course. So Lord Shiva said, you know what? My jata, my hairs, have a special power. If you touch your Lala's feet on my head with my hair, he will never fall sick. He will be always happy in life. Now what does Lord Shiva is trying to do? He wants to get the feet of Krishna on his head. And that's why he is telling Mother Yashoda, bring your baby and put his feet on my head. So, that is the position of Lord Shiva. He is always meditating on Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Lord Ram. And he is always eager to see, to serve them. And then...
And that time there was no concept like Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara?
No, there was. But, in general... People's in general understanding, yes, the Trimurti is there, but yes, that's not wrong, that Brahma is there, Vishnu is there, and Lord Shiva is there, and they are taking a particular task for this universe. Brahma is assigned the job of engineer, as a creating all these different species and all that. And Lord Vishnu himself take the control of maintenance. And Lord Shiva has been assigned the task of bringing Parle at the time for the destruction.
And by that time, they don't know the Shiva, it looks like this way, having...
No, it's looked like Shiva came as a disguised form.
And why they are sadhu? Why the
because he came in the form of a sadhu, disguised himself as a sadhu. Right? You may see a lot of sadhus in India still, who may dress up like Lord Shiva. Right? They may have a damaru in their hand, a trishul in the hand. They may put a snake in their neck. So the sadhu can have that kind of appearance, get up, like as a fancy dress competition. People can dress up as Lord Shiva. So it's not necessarily everybody will relate it to that, oh, it's Lord Shiva personally has come. And the another position, what is the position of Lord Shiva? How, so Brahma Samhita gives the position of Lord Shiva as Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tatha prathagasti heto ya shambhutamapi tatha sumepati karyad govindamadhi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, Lord Krishna, from whom Lord Shiva has manifested. It's like you can make the yogurt from the milk, right? But you cannot turn the yogurt back into the milk. So same way, Lord Shiva is the manifestation from Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, as the yogurt come out of milk. And he has been assigned a particular task. Sanjayate nahi tatha prithagasti heto. He has been assigned the task of at the time of destruction. That is the position of Lord Shiva. But sometime now people confuse with this particular pastime. Let's say, okay, then if Shiva is not the supreme, then why did Lord Ram worship Lord Shiva? And in the Ramayana, there is a particular leela, right, where before crossing that ocean to go to Lanka, Lord Ram worshipped Lord Shiva. So people say, no, Shiva is supreme because Lord Ram worshipped Shiva. So how we understand that point or that particular pastime? So to understand, just understand one principle here. Lord Shiva is the topmost devotee. So in Bhagavatam, there is another shloka which says, as in the river, Ganga is the most superior, as in the worshipables, Lord Achutya, who is Lord Achutya? Krishna. As Krishna is the supreme, Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu. So in the devotees, in the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the topmost. So Lord Shiva's position is Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu. He is the topmost Vaishnava. And in the Purana nam idam tatah. And in the Puranas, Bhagavat Puran is the topmost, is the supreme. So here, Lord Shiva's position is described as the most exalted Vaishnava. And the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, he himself says that I take pleasure in worshipping my devotees. If somebody worship me, in return I worship that person. And Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava. So Lord Vishnu or Lord Ram himself sometime worship Lord Shiva. But it does not mean that Lord Shiva start assuming himself, oh, I am the Supreme Lord. So when Lord Ram worshipped Shiva at Rameshwaram, right? That's how the place got the name Rameshwar. And sometimes people claim Rameshwar means the Ishwara of Ram. Who is the Ishwara of Ram? That's Rameshwara. But when Parvati asked Lord Shiva, what is the meaning of Rameshwara? So he said, whose Ishwara is Ram? That is Rameshwara. Jasya Ishwara, Ram Jasya Ishwara, that is Rameshwara. So whose Ishwara is Ram? That is Rameshwara. That's how Lord Shiva described it.
I think another reason I think of this is, he came as a human form that time. And he was, I think, doing the worship of the best.
So just understand with another analogy. So as a father and son, sometime in the night when you are putting your son to sleep, a father may massage son's legs, right? A little baby, father may massage son's leg. Now, does it mean the son has become superior than the father? Or the son has become the father, or the father has become the son? No, father, out of his love, he is ready to serve the son. So same way Supreme Lord, He is always eager to serve His devotees. As in the example of Arjuna and Krishna. Krishna took the position of as a chariot driver to Arjuna. Does it mean Arjuna became superior than Krishna? No. Krishna did the... He drove Arjuna's chariot. So maybe Arjuna was the supreme god. Right? It's not like that. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stathai bhajamiham. As one surrenders unto me, as one approaches me, I am ready to worship that person. Bhajami aham. So that is Krishna's position. He is always eager, ready to worship his own devotees. So now, coming to Mother Durga. Now what is the relation of Durga and Krishna? Now again in Brahma Samhita, text 44, Durga's position is described. Srishti sthiti pralaya sthana shakti reka chaye vajasya bhuvanani bhivarti Durga icchanu rupamapi yasya cha cheshtate sa govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. So Durga, who is reciting this Brahma Samhita? It's Lord Brahma. Okay, Lord Brahma has composed this Brahma Samhita. So he is describing the position of Mother Durga. And he is not denying that Durga has a special position. Srishti, Sthiti, Paralaya. So she takes part in the creation, in the maintenance and in the destruction. There is no doubt in that she is doing this job. But how she is doing? Is she doing because of her own supremacy? By her own desire? No. He's saying, Ichchanu rupamapi yasyasa cheshtate sa. She is doing. Cheshtate sa. Sa is referring to Durga. Cheshtate. See, she is doing all this. How? Why? Ichchanu rupapi. According to the desire of the Supreme Lord. And who is that Supreme Lord? Govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship that Supreme Lord Govinda. According to whose desire Durga is taking this role to participate, to help in the creation, maintenance and destruction. And in the pastime of Krishna Leela, when Krishna appeared, Krishna asked Durga. Durga is the external energy of Krishna. That is the relation of Durga and Krishna. So Durga is the external energy. So when Krishna was to appear in this material world, he called Durga Devi. I want you to go and take birth from the womb of Yashoda. So from Yashoda, one girl was born. And then I will appear in the prison house of Kamsa. And then you arrange for me to go to Vrindavan and you come into the prison house. So Krishna was shifted to Vrindavan, right, in the palace of Nanda Maharaj, and the little baby girl was exchanged and she was brought into the prison house to give it to Devaki and Vasudev. Now when Kamsa came, hearing the news that 8th baby has born, he came to kill that 8th baby. And when he saw, oh, it's a girl, and still he was ready to kill that girl. Says, I don't care, it's a boy or girl. It was the prediction that eighth child of Devaki will kill me. So I will destroy this girl. And he hold on the girl from her foot and he was trying to kill her by hitting it with the stone. And she slipped out of the hands of Kamsa and appeared in the sky. In what form? Yog Maya, as a Durga Devi. She appeared in a Ashtabhuja Durga Devi form. And she told Kamsa, oh fool Kamsa, your death has already taken birth in some other place. And then from there she disappeared. So, if you understand, what is the relation of Durga and Krishna? She is the external energy of Krishna, who is doing the task within this material world as per the desire of Krishna, as per the desire of the Supreme Lord. And meaning of Durga, if you know the meaning of Durga, Durga. So Durga is like a fort.
Kila.
Durga means fort. And Durga means the superintendent of that fort. So this material world is like a fort, as a prison house. And she is the superintendent of this prison house, of this material world. So that is the job. And she is also known as, she expands herself as a Kuldevi. So she is in charge of particular different kula in her different expansions. So generally you will hear people say, oh, she is, this particular Devi is our Kuldevi. That particular Devi is our Kuldevi. It's nothing but those are the expansions of Durga who takes charge of particular kula. If they are doing, if they are following the particular principles, and they can elevate themselves. She is in charge. So she is external energy and she is doing the job based on the desire of the Supreme Lord. Ichchanu rupam api jasya sa cheshtate sa. Now, let's come down to Ganeshji. Is it okay? Another 15-20 minutes? Or you are already tired? So, just one more. Lord Ganesh.
See, I have one question.
Can you hold on to that question?
No time.
No, we'll discuss the question answers, but let's just go with the flow rather than disturbing the flow. So you, then you can ask your questions. So position of Ganeshji. Now Ganeshji, some class of people may accept, oh, Ganeshji is also supreme. But what about Ganeshji? Especially in Maharashtra. Right, in Maharashtra, Ganeshji is worshipped as supreme. But what is the position of Ganeshji now? The first of all, Ganeshji's one tooth is broken. And he is known as Ekdanta. Dayavant, right? He is known as Ekdanta. He has one teeth missing. How he lost one tooth? What is the pastime behind this? Now there are many cartoon movies. They may show a completely distorted version how Ganesh lost one tooth. He fell down from the Mushka's back and that's how he broke the teeth. Or somebody may show some other way. Parshuram broke. He had a fight with Parshuram and Parshuram's what is the Parshuram's astra?
Axe.
From that he broke the tooth. But now what is the real story behind how Ganesha lost one tooth? So when Vyasadev wanted to write this Srimad Bhagavatam, the final Purana, the Mahabharata and Purana, he thought it's too huge and I want to write it fast. If I have to think and then write, it will be too much. So he requested Ganeshji that, will you help me writing this Bhagavat Puran, Mahabharata and Bhagavat Puran? And Ganeshji said, of course, I will do this job. So Ganeshji did the job of as a steno writer. So when Ganeshji said, yes, I will do this job, but I have a condition, that you have to continuously keep speaking. I will not stop. So Vyasadeva said, okay, I accept. So Ganeshji said, I accept. Vyasadeva said, I accept your proposal, but I also have one condition. When you write, before you write, you have to understand the meaning. So Ganeshji said, okay. So now Vyasadeva started narrating and Ganeshji started writing. And as they are writing, sometimes Vyasadeva, you have to think, okay, to narrate the next one. So whenever he needed some time to think, he will recite a very hard Sanskrit shloka, very hard one. So Ganeshji had to take some time to understand before writing. So while writing, so Ganeshji started enjoying so much. He was having so much ecstasy while writing that. And the inks finished. But he was getting so much ecstasy, he didn't want to stop. So he took his teeth. He broke his teeth. And he used that teeth he used that tooth as a pen, and with his blood he started writing. Because he was getting so much ecstasy in writing the Bhagavad Puran. Bhagavad Puran is nothing but the pastimes of Krishna in various incarnations, his reciprocation with the devotees, various devotees. That's what Srimad Bhagavad Puran is. So Ganeshji was enjoying so much. Now if somebody claims that, oh, Ganeshji is also supreme, how can you say, oh, they are all Devi Devatas and Krishna is supreme? But if that was so, Ganeshji himself could have objected. Right? When Vyasadeva is composing all that, when he is saying, Ite chancha kalha pumsha, Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna is the Supreme Lord, all other are expansions and expansion of expansions. And when he wrote the Mahabharata also, and Ganeshji is the one who wrote Mahabharata when Vyasadeva is reciting. And in Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita is the part of Mahabharata. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Matta paratram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya. There is nothing superior than me. Ganeshji could have objected. How dare you say there is nothing superior than you? How about me? Right? But Ganeshji is enjoying. He is having so much ecstasy. And then, again, Brahma Samhita. Another reference from Brahma Samhita, which describes the position of Ganeshji. Ganeshji is known as remover of obstacles, right? Viganharta. So how does Ganeshji get that power to remove the obstacles? So Brahmaji is mentioning here, how does he get that power? Yad pad pallava vyungam vidinaya kumbha dvandve pranamase sa ghanadhiraja. Who is Ganadhiraja? Lord Ganesh. Right? He is referred as Ganadhiraja. So Ganadhiraja, Lord Ganesh, is always paying obeisances. He is holding down Yad Pad Pallava. He is holding down to the feet of the Supreme Lord. And that's how he is gaining the power to remove the obstacles. So by holding on to the feet of the Supreme Lord, he is getting the power to destroy the obstacles. And his job, actual job actually, is to remove the obstacles from the path of bhakti, from the path of devotion. Vignan vihantumasya jagatrayasya. He gets the power to remove all the miseries, all the vighana in this material world. How he gets that? By holding on to the feet of the Supreme Lord. Yad pad pallava Govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. I pay obeisances to that Supreme Lord Govinda. By holding on to whose feet? Ganesh is getting the power to remove the obstacles. And then when people sing Ganeshji Aarti, right? So when they sing Ganeshji's Aarti, at the end of the Aarti, they recite one particular mantra, one particular shloka. Anybody know what is that shloka? Kayena vacha manasendriyeva buddhi buddhi atmanava prakrte sabhava kromi atyat saklam parasmai narayaneti samarpayami. So he is saying, so at the end, after worshipping Ganeshji, what are they reciting? Without even knowing the meaning, they are reciting that. So what is the meaning of that? Kayena vacha manasendriyeva. Through our body, through our words, through our mind, through our senses, through our intelligence, buddhe atmanava prakrte sabhavava, through our tendencies, kromi yat yat sakalam parasmay, whatever activities one does, whom to offer? Narayaneti samarpayami. All that to be offered to Lord Narayana. So they worship Ganeshji. At the end they are reciting this. What is the meaning? So everything to be offered to Lord Narayana. This is from Bhagavatam. This is again Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text 36. That is what they are reciting. Now, everybody approach these different personalities for different purpose. Somebody may approach all them, and then what is the purpose? Some even Devi Devatas. So all these, they are known as Devi Devatas. There is one Supreme God, and then all other are known as Devi Devatas. And we are just understood or go through the few of them. What is their relationship and what is their relative position? But when people approach different Devi Devatas, it's also out of desire, right? For fulfilling their own material desires. Oh, I want this. Even people may approach Devi Devata also with the egoistic tendency. What is in it for me? I'm worshipping you. Will you give me this? So in that also, I is there. Somebody may approach Ganesh ji. There is a nice joke actually. I didn't say any joke this time today. Somehow, time to joke for joke now. There's a one person was praying Ganesh ji. Okay, and he's saying, what is that term? How is Ganesh ji referred as? Tumse badkar kaun? Right? Deva o deva, tumse badkar kaun? So they are glorifying Ganesh ji. So first part is glorifying Ganesh ji. Deva o deva, Ganpati deva, tumse badkar kaun? And in the next part they say, aur tumhare bhakton mein mujhse badkar kaun? Right? So that is also ego. Envy. People may approach Devi Devata, but that I tendency, ego, that is still there. And people approach just out of fulfilling their own desire. There is one Marwadi who was praying Ganesh ji. Ganpati Bappa Moreya, Dhanda Nahiyo Horeya, Mahal Nahiyo Jareya, Paiso Nahiyo Aareya. Ganpati Bappa Moreya, Tharo Bhakt Roreya. So people worship Devi Devatas, Ganesh ji and all that, just for what? Just for the desires, just for material opulence. Not, their tendency is not actually to serve them. They are not approaching them just to serve. Their tendency is journal. I'm talking about journal tendency. Journal tendency, how people will go to temple. What do we do? Oh, I will donate 10 rupees and give me 1 lakh. I will donate $10 and I want in return $1 million. Main ek nariyal phodunga, aap mera ye kaam kar do. So, just with that tendency. It's not a service attitude. They don't approach Devi Devatas as a service attitude. Somebody may approach Hanuman ji. So Hanuman ji, what is Hanuman? Hanuman is also Ansh of Lord Shiva. And when Hanuman came, he was at the time of Lord Ram. And what was he doing? He was always serving Lord Ram. Right? Throughout his whole Leela, he is serving Lord Ram in various capacity. And he is always chanting the name of Lord Ram. Even when the bridge is constructed, it's written Ram on that, and that's how they put the stones in the water. So Hanuman is always serving Lord Ram. And people will approach Hanuman, or sometime people will start considering Hanuman. Oh, Hanuman is also Supreme Lord. Hanuman did so much help to Lord Ram. Lord Ram was not able to fix this problem himself. Hanuman fixed that problem. So Hanuman, what is Hanuman known as? Sankat Mochan. Right? There's a Hanuman ji Sankat Mochan. He removes the obstacle. And sometime people start considering, oh, he removed the obstacle for Lord Ram also. So he is the Supreme Lord. He is also supreme, or he is also equal. But Hanuman ji himself, he is always chanting the name of Lord Ram. Hanuman is known as Ashta Siddhi Navanidhi Ke Data. Right? Ashta Siddhi. He has all those 8 mystic yoga siddhis. He can become the smallest of the smallest. He can become the biggest of the biggest. He can enter into the mountain. He can fly in the sky. He can stretch his arm and get anything. So he has all the siddhis. He can give the navda bhakti. Ashta siddhi navanidhi ke data. But what does he himself is doing? After having all that, all those mystic powers, he doesn't become proud. He doesn't start considering, oh, I am also equal. I am also supreme. He is just humbly serving. Right? And sometimes people will go to Hanumanji and they worship Hanumanji. Hanumanji is but Bala Brahmachari. Right? He is a Nashti Brahmachari. And sometimes people go Hanumanji also. And generally, log kya kya mangte Bhagwan se? Or Devi Devtaon se? They can go to Hanumanji also. Hanumanji himself is a Bala Brahmachari. And people go sometime, say, what is that? Aap to thehre Bala Brahmachari, mujhko de do ek Kanyakumari. So this is just the tendency, the inclination of people, how people approach. Now we discussed about the position of Lakshmi Devi also. When we were doing this session, when we did discuss Diwali. On Diwali day, I mentioned Lakshmi, she is the goddess of wealth. And she is not to be approached independently, independent of Lord Vishnu. She is the consort of Lord Vishnu. And she never stays away from Lord Vishnu. Somehow people have come up with this philosophy or this mentality that, oh, we should worship Lakshmi alone. Generally people worship Lakshmi alone on Diwali. But that's a wrong method of worshipping Lakshmi. Because Lakshmi, another name is Chanchala. She never stays at one place for a long time. Because she is always in service of Lord Vishnu. But when we worship Lord Vishnu, she by default comes. Right? So, it should be worship of Lakshmi Narayan together, not just worship of Lakshmi Devi. So, we discussed all these various most top personalities, which are generally considered, oh, they are all equal, they are all God. All these Devi Devatas are all equal. But the actual principle is there is one Supreme God. Our philosophy also is not monotheism, it's a polytheism. At a higher principle, there is one Supreme God. But yes, there are many Devi Devatas. So what is the purpose, or we already discussed the relation of Devi Devatas. What is the overall concept, how to understand that? So as in a government of a country, there is one president, and then there is a head of department for various departments. There is a head of department for education, for wealth, for electricity, for water. Right? For all these things, there are different departments, there is a head of department. So same way, there is one Supreme Lord, who is the cause of everything, who is the cause of all causes, who is the supreme controller, maintainer, proprietor, enjoyer. But then there are different in charges for various departments. So Brahmaji is the secondary creator. He has been given the job of Visarga. Do the secondary creation. Lord Shiva is given the task of the annihilation, destruction, whenever it's needed. Ganeshji is given the position of Vighnaharta, because people in general are interested in their sense gratification. And people approach different Devi Devatas to fulfill of different desires. Indra appointed as a rain god. He is in charge of rain. Varuna, Maruta. So like that Chandra, Surya. So there are different in charges of different necessities of life. So that is the relationship. So Devatas, now position of Devi Devatas in relative to the Supreme Lord, the position of Devi Devatas is temporary. It's not as an eternal position. Devi Devatas is a position. They occupy a position for a certain time. Like a government of a country can change 4 years. The universal government changes once in every Manvantara. Of course, it's a long duration of time, but it does change. And after that, a new person occupies that position. So the person who is occupying the position of Indra, currently, right now, his actual name is Purandar, who is occupying the position of Indra. The person who is occupying the position of Sun God, his name is Vivaswan. The person who is occupying the position of Chandra, his name is Soma. Right? So like that, there are different Devi Devatas who are occupying the position. So this Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Maruta, Surya, these are positions. And a particular person right now is occupying that position. And that position can change. Now, we already discussed, people approach Devi Devatas with a business mentality. I will not go into too much details of these. So, the result of worshipping the Devi Devatas is not eternal. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tetam bhuktva sarg lokam vishalam, kshine punye mrityu lokam vishanti. And another verse Krishna says, if somebody worship the ancestors, they go to ancestors. If they worship the ghost beings, they go to the ghost beings. If they worship me, they come to me. So there is a different result of worshipping different personalities. By worshipping different Devi Devatas, people can attain Swarga Loka. But that's not an eternal position. Swarga Loka also is a part of within this material world. It's higher than the earthly planetary system, but it is still within this material world. Where the opulences are more, people can enjoy better opulences, better sense gratification. But ultimately, Tetum Bhuktva Swarga Lokam Vishalam, Kshine Punya Mrityu Lokam Vishanti. But when those punyas are exhausted, they have to come back to the lower planets. And again, this keep going. So people keep going up and down within this material world. Now, how to approach the demigods? So when we discuss about the position of Devi Devatas and the Supreme Lord, now nowhere it is that, okay, to reject the Devi Devatas or to insult the Devi Devatas or to ignore the Devi Devatas. But we have to understand the correct position. How should be the relationship or how should be the reciprocation? So Narada in Bhagavatam, he is giving a discourse to Prachetas. So he gives two examples to understand how one should approach the Supreme Lord versus the Devi Devatas. So first example he gave is, if you have to water a tree, how will you water the tree? There is an option, you can water each leaf, each twig, each branch of the tree, but you may not be able to nourish the whole tree in that way. But if you want to nourish the whole tree and satisfy all the twigs, branches, fruits, leaves, everything, just pour the water at the roots of the tree. Because if you pour the water at the root, everything will be satisfied by default. So there is no necessity to serve all these different parts of the tree. So same way, there is one Supreme Lord and all are the different Devi Devatas. If one serves the Supreme Lord, if one worships the Supreme Lord, all the Devi Devatas automatically get satisfied. So another example he gave is supplying the food to the stomach. So your eyes are doing the job of seeing, your ears are doing the job of hearing, your hands are doing the job of, hands and legs are doing the job of walking and lifting the things and all that. But if you want to give energy to these things, will you take a chapati and hold in your hand and say, oh, my hand will get satisfied? To give energy to the various parts of the body, we have to take that food and put it into the mouth and feed it to the stomach. And when the food goes to the stomach, the whole body is nourished. All the different parts of the body get the energy. So same way, when we serve the Supreme Lord, all the various Devi Devatas are automatically satisfied, automatically served. So these examples are given by Devarishi Narada, who is also a topmost devotee. It's not that I am concocting these examples by myself. He is teaching this to Prachetas, that how to approach the Supreme Lord by giving these examples. Now, it doesn't mean that we offend the Devi Devatas again. Nowhere it means to offend the Devi Devatas. But, so we should respect everybody, but worship is for the Supreme Lord. So namaskar to everybody, but worship is for the Supreme Lord. It's just like if a police chief come to your house, and along with that he may have a constable or SP or other junior people, right? So it's not that, okay, I will respect IG, but I can slap the constable. No, to respect the IG means to respect all the people who are accompanied by with the IG. We don't want to insult the other junior police officers. So same way, we worship the Supreme Lord and we respect all the different personalities, different Devi Devatas, because they are also appointed by the Supreme Lord. They are also given a particular task within this universal affair. So, respect is for everybody, but worship should be for one Supreme Lord. So, there is a difference, that's why there is a difference in upasana and bhakti. Whatever we do for the Devi Devatas, that's called upasana. And the bhakti word is reserved for the Supreme Lord. One may do the upasana for Ganesh ji, one can do the upasana for Devi, one can do the upasana for Lord Shiva. But when it comes to bhakti, bhakti is, that word bhakti is reserved for the Supreme Lord. So worship is for the Supreme Lord. Now all the Devi Devatas, they are not like, okay, oh, he is worshipping the Supreme Lord, he is not worshipping me. They are not having that envious or egoistic tendency. They also become happy if somebody worships the Supreme Lord. There are so many examples in the scripture. If I go with all that, we'll be sitting here all night. But the point here is, the Devi Devatas, they also become pleased when they see somebody approaching the Supreme Lord, worshipping the Supreme Lord. And they actually help the person connect with the Supreme Lord. So, I can give my own example. In my childhood, it's not that I was worshipping Lord Shiva or Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. In the childhood, we had this same hodgepodge. Coming from Indian background, in Hinduism, generally all these tendencies are most common. Everybody is equal or everybody is same. Rarely people understand the whole thing in a systematic way. So I was also kind of devotee of Lord Shiva actually, and Durga Devi. So these are the two personalities towards whom my inclination was the most in my childhood. And sometime as a children while we were playing, so in our house, generally in Indian house, there is a storeroom where you have all big trunks and all that. So we'll make a pile of the trunks, and I will climb on top of all that pile and pretend to be sitting like Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva sits on the top of Kailash, right? And he is doing meditation, he is chanting. So sometimes I used to pretend like that. You know, I'm sitting like that and I'm pretending to be chanting or like that. But slowly, if you are seriously worshipping or seriously approaching the demigods also, or seriously approaching the Devi Devatas also with a proper mentality, with the mentality to serve them, not with the mentality to ask from them, they will also show the path to the Supreme Lord. They will connect that particular individual to the Supreme Lord. So same is the position of Durga. Because she is the superintendent of this material world. But as soon as she sees somebody is sincere, she wants to connect with the Supreme Lord. So, I can just say from my personal experience also, this is how it turned around and how we came into this process. As soon as I came to US, I got introduced into the process. Just within a 1 month or 2 months, I was living in Wayne State University and somebody was celebrating Diwali. And they were passing out flyers to all the apartments there on the Wayne State complex. And I also got the flyer. So I just called that person, oh, can I help in any way? They said, sure. So I just got connected with that person. And then I started going more often. And I started reading books and I started listening to the philosophy in a more systematic way. So as the understanding became clear, mature, so it continues like that. So it starts with Shravanam. It starts with Adhav Shraddha. It starts with a little faith. We have to have a little faith. And then with that faith, then we start associating, right? Like you all are doing. Maybe you had some little faith and then you started coming. And when, so Adhav Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, and then Bhajana Kriya. Then we start into the process of hearing and chanting. And then Anartha Nivritti. Then all those wrong tendencies, they start going away. So that is the process. So our topic today was, who is God? One God or many God? Who is God? Scripture says Lord Krishna is celebrated as the Supreme Lord. And then scripture give conclusive statements about the position of various other personalities in relation to Lord Krishna. So we'll stop here. If anybody has any question, I'm sure this topic is full of questions. So if somebody has any question, we can discuss that quickly. Sorry, I took too long today. I wanted to finish this topic in one time rather than splitting in two, because then you lose the flow and connectivity in this particular topic. So if anybody has any question.
I wanted to ask about eternity of Lord Shiva. Like you said, Lord Shiva was born from Lord Brahma. Lord so, Brahma has some lifetime. He has to die. What about Lord Shiva?
So, very good question. So generally it comes, okay, Lord Shiva came through Brahmaji, but Lord Shiva has a position in the spiritual world, whereas Brahma has a duration, right? Brahma has his own lifetime. So when, see, Lord Shiva, even though he came through Brahmaji, it does not mean he is inferior to or equal to Brahmaji. So even though, even Lord Vara, when Lord Vishnu took the form as Vara, how he appeared in this universe? He appeared through the nostrils of Brahmaji. So Varadev, he appeared as a just tip of the thumb from the nostril of Brahmaji. And then he assumed the gigantic form of Varadev. Right? Few more minutes. Then you can do your hangama. So even though Shiva came through Brahmaji, but Shiva has his specific position. Shiva is also in one sense Ansha of Lord Vishnu. As we took this example, as Brahmaji himself mentions in Brahma Samhita, as the yogurt is made of the milk, so that is the position of Shiva. Shiva is an expansion of Vishnu, but he has a mix of material element in that. Influence of material energy, material mode.
Has a lifetime or like...
No, he has his own eternal position within the spiritual world also. There is a Kailash Dham, which is the just beginning of the spiritual world. The spiritual world just starts from
so
there.
Lord Shiva is not a position.
Lord Shiva is within this material world, it's a position also.
Okay.
As a Lord Vishnu also assumes a position within this material world, right? He takes the charge of maintenance. So in within this material world, Lord Shiva has a position, but he has a position, eternal position also.
No, I'm asking about positions like Lord Indra or Lord.
Right. So it's a position.
Now,
it's a position within this material world.
Mantra.
Right.
So Lord Shiva's position.
Brahma is a jiva. Brahma is a living entity, Indra is a living entity.
Yes.
So all various personalities are living entity, but Shiva is not considered as a living entity.
Mm-hmm.
Shiva is a special tattva known as Shiva tattva.
So how can he be born from a living entity?
As Vishnu can also appear through a human-like father and mother.
He just appears.
So Shiva also can appear in that way.
He was already existing. He just appeared in other form.
So Disha, this is the same question actually I want to ask.
Okay, so can we discuss your question next time?
Okay.
This particular, because if we go into details of this question, it will be...
I'll ask the question, you can answer later. So what she is asking is the same question. Basically, you saw that above the Brahma Jati, there is a place where
Kailashram.
Shiva is there. We know that Shiva is eternal and is spiritually available all the time.
Yeah.
So now, in each universe, there is a Shiva also. So this Shiva and that Shiva,
so
what is the relation between these? So that we want to know.
Yeah.
It's the same Shiva which appears within this material world. That Shiva is called Sadashiva. Right? So that Shiva, when he is, and again, that Sadashiva is expansion of again Vishnu. But and
so,
that Shiva
so
appears
that
within this material world.
So that means in one universe, like Brahma is the position, Shiva is also position, that means.
Right, I already said that within this material world, Shiva is a position.
So they also get dissolved, basically. In one universe.
Right, but he is not like Brahma. There is a still difference. He is not as a living entity. As Vishnu also there within this universe, as a Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
What happened, like Brahma is a position, so what happened to Vishnu?
So Vishnu,
like universe is a Vishnu, Shiva, you are saying Shiva is not like Brahma. What about Vishnu?
So Vishnu is also himself, he is there within each universe, but then he is expansion from Mahavishnu, right?
So
he enters within each universe.
Know,
so everything again enters back into Mahavishnu. So from where expansion has come.
So that means what you are saying is one universe, only Brahma is a position, Indra is a position, but Shiva and Vishnu is not position.
So in one sense it's a position, but it's eternal also. It's not that it's end by the end of the universe.
It doesn't matter.
Right, it does not
like
end
Brahma
at the
end.
Right, Brahma ends.
But these two entities doesn't matter.
Right. They, those positions are eternal.
Okay. Vishal, I have one question. You said Shankaracharya is the form of Shiva and Gautam Buddha is the form of Krishna. Okay. When people was moving to Bauddha Dharma, that time I heard that Shankaracharya, because of Shankaracharya, still now Hindu Dharma is existing.
Yes.
Because of Shankaracharya?
Hindu Dharma is existing because that time all are converting into the Bauddha Dharma. Then because of him, now still it is existing. Then why Shiva is, that means Shankaracharya, not allowed to move to Bodha Dharma, because he is the Krishna. Bodha Dharma means he is the Krishna.
So here, okay, very good question. The point to understand, first of all, every incarnation, when Lord appears, he appears for a certain purpose, for a certain task. And when Buddha came, his purpose was to propagate Ahimsa and to drive away the atheistic class of people, or who are distorting the Vedas, who are manipulating the Vedas to fulfill their own whimsical ideas, to convert those people, to drive away those people. So what was Buddha's teaching? Ahimsa Parma Dharma. And at that time, the Brahmanas were misleading the people, or they were taking the position of we are the supreme, people should worship us and we can give all the benedictions. Agar hamara aashirvad mil gaya, toh sab kuch ho jayega. And the people were misinterpreting the Vedas and they were doing the animal sacrifices on the name of the Vedas just for their own sense gratification. So Buddha came to divert people from these teachings. And to do that, he said, okay, just forget about the Vedas. Forget about what is, because people will say, oh, we are doing because it's written in Vedas. That's why we are doing the animal sacrifice. Who says, just get done with the Vedas, just don't listen to the Vedas. So he preached the another philosophy completely different from the Vedic philosophy. To just drive away those miscreants away from the Vedic culture. Okay, so that was the one. And when Shankaracharya came, So another purpose Shankaracharya came, he also preached not as a, so he brought back people, connected back with the Vedic philosophy, but he still did not give the complete principle.
So why he again brought that one? Because if he is the form of Shiva, means Shiva will be definitely know Gautam Buddha is the supreme God. Okay, he already teach the lesson to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Then why again he could also teach same thing? No, because supreme God teaches this one.
So again, just understand the principle that every incarnation Krishna has a certain purpose, and every incarnation is not in a full capacity. Okay, so all the incarnations, Krishna in his full opulence, he has 64 kala, 64 opulences. And when various incarnations come, he comes in a partial expansion. As I said, itecha ansha kala pumsa. All these expansions, all these incarnations are part and parcel or the partial expansions. When Lord Ram came, he is not manifested. Right, so same way Buddha is not as a full, complete 64 opulences as Krishna. He is an expansion, yes, he is an incarnation of Krishna, but it does not possess all the 64 qualities. He is a partial expansion and it has a certain purpose. I will explain that again, maybe individually, in more detail.
I think during our
So if you guys like, we can continue this discussion while taking prasadam.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can ask these questions. So we'll stop now and we'll have a Narasimha prayer and prasadam prayer.